Now is the time for scripture reading. Scripture is found in the book of James. How come I have Peter here? It's found in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 1 to 10. Again, there we go. Open your Bible, look up at the screen. This is the word of the Lord. Book of James, chapter 4, 1 to 10. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says, within reason, that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely, but He gives us more peace, more grace? That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Today we are very honored to have Pastor Paul with us.
Thank you, Amina. Good morning, BBTC. The peace of Christ be with you. And it's great to join you in worship again. The last time I was here was more than a year ago. And I think lots have changed. As I look at you, I've noticed a number of new faces. And a number of you have also shot up higher and taller than I am. And now I'm talking to you. When I talk to you, I have to look up to you. And but I guess, you know, that's life. Huh? And also want to thank the worship team for leading us in worship. And it's great that we could join our voices and our hearts and minds together to worship the Lord. As I said, it was a year ago that I was here. And so let me update you on what's been happening in my life. And I suppose a number of you may be curious. And so to avoid answering the same questions again and again, so I just answer all your questions right here. Now, Felix is now a full-time elementary school teacher, just like Andrew, but Andrew teaches high school. My youngest daughter, Fidelia, is doing her PhD at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles. Please pray for her and her neighborhood. You know, there is a great fire in Los Angeles. Hopefully it won't, you know, get blown over that way. As for me, I'm currently a chair of the Pastoral Ministries Committee of the BCMB Conference, in charge of credentialing pastors. By the way, we interviewed Pastor Eliza, the Chinese pastor, last year. And Pastor Ryan, I know that he's left earlier this year. I'm also on the Board of Faith and Life of the Canadian, the National MB Conference. And on Sundays, I go around and preach in different Chinese MB churches in the English services. And it's good to, you know, get to know different congregations and see how they are doing and how, you know, Eva and I can pray for them. By the way, Eva can't make it this morning, and so her apologies, and yeah, she sends her regards to all of you. Anyway, this past August and September, for 2 months, Eva and I went on a self-guided tour of Europe. Part of the trip was doing short-term missions for 2 weeks in the Cumbria region of the UK. I preached in a local evangelical Anglican church, and together Eva and I ministered to the congregation. It was a very rewarding and definitely a highlight of our European tour. Besides ministry, you know, as they say, you know, all work and no fun makes what, Jack a dull boy, right? Make Paul and Eva a dull people. And so, we are traveling in the Cumbria region. It's a beautiful country. It's the scenery there is just fantastic. And we had a lot of fun. And now enough of the update. Now, some years ago, the world was shocked to hear the news about this female astronaut. She attempted to kidnap a female colleague with the intention to kill her. This well-educated, well-trained scientist wearing astronaut diapers to avoid frequent pit stops, drove all the way from Houston, Texas to Orlando, Florida, altogether 1,600 kilometers. She wanted to prevent her romantic rival from meeting with a male astronaut whom she claimed to love. She wanted to have sole possession of that male colleague. Now, why did a sophisticated and talented woman commit such a crime? Ruining herself, now she's in jail. I think she's still there. And almost destroying others. Her rash conduct apparently bears out James's teaching in chapter 3, where James says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." In this morning's scripture passage, James further elaborates on the cause of disorder and evil practice. He points out that the cause of conflict among people is selfish desires. And when we put ourselves first, then conflict between others and us is inevitable. When we put ourselves first, then there is even conflict between us and God. Now, James says in verse 1, you know, he asks a question, but answers it himself. He asks, "What causes fights and quarrels among you?" Oh, by the way, this is ESV, English Standard Version. And he answers himself, "Don't they come from desires that battle within you?" The word desires means pleasures. It refers to the pleasures of life. Now, we all want to have a pleasurable life. And there's nothing wrong with that. Our Heavenly Father wants us to enjoy all the good things He gives to us. After all, He is the giver of all good and perfect gifts. Now, when we are content with His blessings in our lives, that is our great gain. It is to our advantage. But we may desire something that is not ours, something that is not lawful for us to have. This becomes evil desire. This becomes lust. And there is a potential battle within us. Like babies, we desire to get what we want and when we want it. And when we get it, we have the never-ending desire of getting more. I noticed that, you know, some of you are parents already, right? You got babies at home, young children at home. You know what I'm talking about, right? When we are dominated by our desires, and when we become selfish and greedy, then we inevitably have conflict with others. When all people are striving to possess the same things, for example, money, power, prestige, worldly possessions, etc., etc., life becomes a competitive arena. And we trample down each other in the rush to grab what we desire. I remember Black Friday and Boxing Day sales. They're just around the corner, right? People elbow their way into the store to get a good bargain. Sometimes fights and quarrels break out, and sometimes, tragically, people even die. Now, James says, you covet, but you cannot get what you want. And therefore, you quarrel and fight. You desire, but your desire is not gratified. And therefore, you kill. Yes, there are people who would do anything to gratify their desires. Like the female astronaut. They want to eliminate their rivals. There's a cheerleader mom in Texas, the United States. She wanted her daughter to be a cheerleader so badly that she hired someone to kill another cheerleader so that there would be an opening on the squad for her daughter. Crazy, huh? James says each one is enticed by his own evil desire. And after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And the sad thing is, the heart remains unsatisfied and is still filled with unrest even after this bitter fighting, bitter quarreling, and even tragic killing. Now let's ask ourselves, let's pause and ask ourselves. You know, God has given me many blessings. Am I content with them? I want a pleasurable life. But are there selfish desires battling within me? Do my selfish desires cause conflict at home, at work, in school, or even here in church? You know, our evil and ungratified desires cause conflict not only between others and us, but also between God and us. And when we are in the middle of conflicts, the last thing on our mind is prayer. James says in verse 3, when you ask, even if we pray, we pray with the wrong motives, that we may spend what we get on our selfish pleasures. Like spoiled children, we whine to God for things that would harm rather than help us. And because God loves us, God will not answer such prayers. Our prayers are not for God's glory, and definitely not for our own good. Consequently, we rupture our relationship with God. Because we are consumed by our selfish desires, we have no time and energy for anything else, not even for God. And this causes conflict between God and us. Think about it. You know, when you are really mad at God, when you are not really pleased with God, how willingly would you come before God? I guess zero, right? You don't want to come to God. And that's why James says he uses strong language to rebuke Christians in this kind of situation. He raises his voice in verse 4. He says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? James's readers are mainly Jews. The expression adulterous people bluntly reminds them of their ancestors' unfaithfulness to God, not only in the wilderness, but throughout the history of Israel. In Old Testament times, Israel often behaved like an adulterous wife towards God, the faithful husband. Israel worshipped Baal and other false gods. James uses the same imagery to depict the church and individual Christians who seek friendship with the world and not with God. In so doing, they commit spiritual adultery against God. Friendship with the world has the idea of worldliness. We pursue worldly possessions, riches and pleasures, prestige and fame at the expense of our relationship with God. When we embrace the world to fulfill our desires, this is hatred to God. It's like we are having an affair with the world and we invite a hated rival into the marriage bed. And that's definitely a no-no. We are telling Jesus, our heavenly spouse, that we are not satisfied with him. We are unfaithful because Jesus is not enough for us. Now let's pause and ask ourselves, am I, at this moment, committing spiritual adultery? It doesn't matter how old, how young you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian or how short you've been a Christian. Am I committing adultery spiritually? Do I give my desires a higher priority than God? Does my boyfriend or girlfriend, family, academic achievement, career, material goods, entertainment, whatever kind, fame or status mean more to me than my commitment to Christ? These questions are worth pondering, aren't they? Now, having pointed out selfish desires as the chief cause of conflict among people and between God and us, James directs us to the cure for conflict. The cure for conflict should be no surprise to us. The cure for conflict is God himself. You know, James says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. We won't come to God for help until we admit that ourself is the cause for conflict. God often intervenes and acts to rebuke a proud man. But sometimes he allows him to go on in his foolishness and eventually find out his mistakes for himself. And we won't pray to God for forgiveness unless we recognize our foolishness, unless we recognize our selfish desires. You know, God gives grace for victory to the humble people. Because of their humility, God gives them grace to do what is right. James encourages us, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Humility before God means complete dependence on God in resolving conflict caused by selfish desires. When we humble ourselves before God, we tell God that we are at his mercy. Another way to put an end to selfish desires is submission to God. You know, James says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submission is a military term, meaning to be of a lower rank, to rank under, to come under. We submit to God because God, Christ Jesus, is our commander-in-chief. I don't know if you realize this. You know, being a Christian is not just, you know, a way to enjoy a hunky-dory life. Not like that. If you read the New Testament especially carefully, you recognize that being a Christian is just like a Christian soldier. You know that? Because day in, day out, you are fighting a spiritual battle. If you don't think that you are fighting a spiritual battle, you are not a Christian. Even you think you are Christian, your relationship with God doesn't show it. Because you don't feel that you are a spiritual Christian soldier. You know, submission means we come under the command of our commander-in-chief, Christ Jesus our Lord. We are yield to his authority. Give him the control of our life and get our desires aligned with his. You know, many of you have started driving or already driving, right? You are over 16. Mom and dad let you drive. You know, drivers know that wheel alignment is important for driving. When the wheels of a car are out of alignment, they pull the car to the left or to the right, and the tires wear out a lot faster than they should. And what do? After we change the tires? No. Changing the tires will cost you more money, right? The pulling to the left or to the right indicates that there is something wrong in the car. There's something wrong. There's a problem. And the only way to save the car and the tires is to get the front end aligned, right? When the front end is aligned, then the car will go straight and you can steer it to the right or to the left. Only by submission to the authority of God, only by getting our life aligned with God, can we fix the problem that we encounter in life, whether it is selfish desires or whatever. When we yield to God's authority completely and align all our desires with His, there is someone who doesn't like it. Yes, you guess it. Huh? That someone is God's arch enemy, Satan. And he will try every trick in the book to weaken our submission to God. That's why James commands us to resist the devil. And when we resist the devil earnestly, urgently, he will flee from us. But if we are not completely submissive to God, that's okay. You know, today I listen to God, tomorrow I go my own way. If you are haphazardly following God like that, if you are involuntarily, you know, doing things not really in compliance with God's will, Satan will not be afraid of you. He will not flee. He will not leave you alone. He plays on our pride. He starts whispering things like, don't listen to the Holy Spirit. You deserve sole possession of the thing. Or ignore the Holy Spirit. Get even with so-and-so. Who does he think or she think she is or he is? And when we cannot resist the devil, he will make us say things or do things that can never be undone, resulting in broken relationships. And we will regret it for the rest of our lives. You know, many of you are still very young. So really make sure you learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, you learn to listen to the Holy Spirit when you are calm, when you are quiet, when you are rested before the Lord. You know, in the book of Isaiah, you know, God says to the Israelites, in quietness and trust is your strength. If you want to work with the Holy Spirit, that's how you work. Satan is very smart at tempting us. We need the power of God to frighten him away. And that's why we need to come near God. We come near to God. When we come near to God, he will come near to us. Coming near to God involves something more than just praying. It calls us for a full surrender to God. Letting go of anything that comes between us and Him. Walking closely with Him. If we come near to God, we quit fighting His plan for us. We put ourselves fully at His disposal. We find our greatest joy in doing His will. Now, drawing near to God is the ultimate expression of life, of the life of faith, of complete dependence on God, on our Savior and Lord Christ Jesus. And the closer we are to God, the farther we will be away from the devil and the world. Now, how would I go about drawing near to God? We need to repent of our sin, of pride, greed, and selfishness. And James says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Now, cleansing hands is an outward, external cleansing. a cleaning up of our language, our habits, our actions, etc. And as double-minded people who waver between God and the world, we need to purify our heart, asking the Holy Spirit to remove any idol, anything that is improper, that is occupying the throne of our life. We need to reinvite Jesus Christ to sit in the rightful place of our life. We need to be resolved in our mind, in our heart, that we are to follow Christ and Christ only. As we come near to God, the Holy Spirit makes us realize that our selfish desires have hurt more than just us. They have hurt those who love us, who are around us, who love us, and those who we love. And therefore, James says in verse 9, he says this, "Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom." Now, there's nothing wrong with joy and laughter. And we all enjoy it, right? Yeah, we all like to have a light moment, a joyful moment, and laugh a lot. But we need to turn the temporary joy of winning a conflict to mourning because we have destroyed a relationship, because we have hurt the body of Jesus Christ. We need to be wretched and mourn and weep. We need to be sorrowful for the conflict. Now, don't minimize what's happened. Repent. That's what James is telling us. Let there be tears for the wrong we have done. And above all, be willing to ask for forgiveness, for God's forgiveness and for each other's forgiveness. And so let us pause again and ask ourselves these questions. Do I have the liberation of giving up my own right because I submit to God? What am I going to do to be right with God and with others? So as you depart from this room today for the rest of this week, I hope you really think about this. Whom do I belong and who belongs to me? Who is in control of my life? Who do I live for? Now, BBGC, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to reflect on our relationship with the Lord regularly. You know, as I said in the first Cantonese service, you know, a lot of us just believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior. We seldom really take it seriously to understand that we also believe in Jesus Christ and accept Him as the Lord of our life. Having Christ Jesus as our Savior is good, but not good enough. He must be the Lord of our lives. And I understand that many of you are going to Urbana, right? In December, right? How many of you are going? Can I see a show of hands? Okay. I hope that you really learn more about this Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. You know, how come, you know, God has, you know, changed many young lives through this Urbana conference? Many, for many, many years. How many years now? You know, even when I was a university student, you know, it was already, you know, there. Their lives were changed because these young people, now many of them are, you know, maybe leaders of their own right now, missionaries working somewhere in the world. They were changed because they were willing to surrender and submit their lives to God. And so as we do, the Holy Spirit may encourage us to give up our worldly living, to lay down our worldly desires at the foot of the cross. And we may be urged to recommit our life to Jesus Christ. So as we sum up James's teaching, let's ask ourselves a fundamental question. Is our aim in life to submit to the will of God, or to gratify our desires for the pleasures of this world? Remember, the best cure for conflict is to humble ourselves before God and submit to Him and to say no to the self and say yes to our loving God. And as the title of my message says, unfriend the world and befriend God. Are you willing? Amen.